We present My Music. A musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreiner. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Greetings. I'd like to introduce four gentlemen of rank and fashion. But all I can manage, actually, is John Amison, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. We usually start with beginnings of pieces of music. This week, I thought we'd start with some endings. Why not? So, John, Diálogos for guitar and orchestra by Toroba, played by Pepe Romero. And some brilliant guitar playing. Yes, isn't it terrific? John, reviewing that, a critic wrote, I'm sure Segovia would have taken it with the cursor higher up the metronome. What did he mean, in effect, by that?
Well, it's that little knob on the middle of the metronome.
That's right.
If you take it a bit higher up, it means it's going slower.
Yes, in other words, quite right. Segovia would have taken it more slowly, that's right.
Electronic now, aren't they?
Oh, yes, indeed. They blob little spots of light at you now instead of swinging to and fro. Frank, another ending, this from the first movement of Recorder Concerto by Sammartini and played by surely one of the prettiest girls ever to wield a Sopranblockflöte. Michela Petri. On that LP, Frank, she plays descant, sopranino and treble recorders. I put them in alphabetical order. Can you put them, please, in descending order of pitch?
Well, that's a good question, isn't it? Because they all mean the highest.
Yes.
Descant means sideways, really, doesn't it? Outside the tune. So it's soprano or treble.
Sopranino. Means a little soprano,
yes.
You know?
Very tiny.
It will be a little bit higher, I think,
yes.
Don't you?
That's right.
Soprano. Yeah. Sopranino is molto higher. Descant in the middle and sideways.
Si.
And treble just below.
Una marca, or whatever the line. Whatever it is in Italian.
Yes. I have a great friend called Walter Bergman, who is practically one of the kings of the recorder world. And he said, you don't really like recorder, do you, John? I said, well, not terribly. He said, why not? So I said, well, it seems just a bit out of tune. It's just, in fact, I tell you, it is so much in tune that it sounds out of tune to you.
Real German logic.
You could worry your life away trying to figure that out, couldn't you? Ian, operetta for you, and again, an ending. The singer is Stuart Burrows, but I want to ask you about the composer.
Tomorrow to a new land, you'll whisper you're a true love.
Interesting composer, Ian. Brahms attended his first piano recital. 2 years before I was born, he composed Salome, the First Continental Foxtrot. I have a Christmas card he sent me in 1974 when he was 94 years old. Who is he? Or rather, was he?
Good gracious. What is, obviously, he's dead.
Mm.
Yes. 94 in 1974.
Four. He also wrote White Horse Inn.
Oh, well.
Good deal of it.
Robert Stoltz.
Robert Stoltz. I do you think he gets the mark.
Yeah.
Oh, what a nice lot you are.
Thank you very
much. That's right, yeah. Yes, Robert Stoltz. In New York here, I think this is lovely, in 1941, note the year, he composed the Führer's Funeral March. How's that for wishful thinking?
Wishing will make it so.
Yes. Dennis, names of the duettists and the composer, please.
Maybe you could show me how to let go. Oh, my God, learn to be free. Maybe if you whistle, whistle for me.
Nice. I could have done with some more of that.
Yes. So, sing up, please.
Well, that's unmistakably Cleo Lane. Yep. And I just presume James Galway, because he does do concerts.
That's right.
Oh, yeah. And that was Anyone Can Whistle, wasn't it? Sondheim's.
Stephen Sondheim, yes. Cleo Lane, glad that you whistle for me. A technicality or two. John, can you tell us, please, about Scordatura?
Scordatura, yeah. Well, yeah, Scordatura. Well, yeah. It's how you tune it, isn't it?
Yes.
It's the way you put the jolly old strings together.
Yes. It's what sort
I mean,
of
you
tune?
Can either have the fiddle tuned to G D A E, which is usual, but in some works, for example, they tell you to let it down to F sharp or G flat, which doesn't mean much to me, but it means a lot to fiddlers.
Yes, it does. In the Schumann piano quintet, the cellist has to tune down a tone. Instead of, I'll show you, instead of playing the open strings, he tunes his bottom note, C, down to B flat.
Yes.
Scordatura.
Get it in Mahler.
True. Frank, musicians sometimes talk about a half close. What do they mean?
Half close is what a country pub does. When, according to the Act of Parliament, they were required to say, "Time, gentlemen, please."
And actually, they're
half close. Nothing to do with underwear. Is it to do with? What are you writing there? You're writing the answer.
No, I'm writing down.
Well, thank you. Crescendos.
Well, why don't I tell you and give you the mark? I think it's fair enough. You know, it's an imperfect cadence, a half
close. Oh, is it? Oh,
it is of a kind, yes.
Oh, boom.
So
yes.
I'll show you again. If you're in the key of C, that key, and a half close would be, which wants to go.
It does, doesn't it?
It does rather, yes.
You know,
the home key.
You get that in Mahler and all,
right,
don't you?
Right, technicalities again. Ian, what is portamento?
Oh, portamento is sometimes used as a very derogatory musical term for a scoop, a sort of. But in fact, it's often written in to the music by a composer to go like that from one note to another.
And often not.
And often
and it
not.
As regrettably to be said, that singers are very prone to portamento, are they not?
Oh, I see. Yes.
No, they no, no. Well, present company, of course, accepted. Can I play you an awful example coming up by Renata Tebaldi? Listen. Swimming through glue, isn't she there? That's all.
Well, yes, maybe, but I would hasten to Signora Tebaldi's defence, because I heard her sing in Rome in Traviata. Most wonderful, wonderful performance with not a portamento in sight. No. So maybe she was sending up that
Yes,
song.
Quite. So, yes, I did. Please, I didn't say she wasn't a wonderful singer. I just said that she portamentoed a bit too much in that particular song.
Steve, it is largely a matter of fashion, isn't it? I mean, the fashion has gone out to a large extent. I heard a record the other day in Elgar's Enigma Variations, conducted by Elgar, and they were doing dee-da-da-da-da. I mean, and that was the composer conducting.
The heyday of the old old Philharmonia Orchestra. They used to smear about quite a lot. It was towards the end of the portamento period.
Well, I think
period.
You do need a bit of portamento. It's like pepper and salt.
Yes.
In a cooking.
It could be sweaty fingers.
Dennis is going to say something crushing.
I'm not going to say something crushing. I'm just going to open another private conversation with Frank.
Well, Dennis, we come to your question.
Oh,
what
we?
Made me think of this question was a programme, a printed programme, kindly sent to me by Ronald Adlam of Hayes End, Middlesex. It's for a concert in Copenhagen. And one of the items is listed as Percy Grainger's Molly on the Floor. Dennis, I have Grangerized one of my books to include that. What then have I done? I have Grangerized a book.
You've Grangerized
yes.
a book.
Is this a legitimate? Yes, it's used by literary folk, particularly.
Well, Frank's a literary folk.
Oh, and well,
his everyday story of literary
yes.
folk.
Yes, literary up. Folk. What is Grangering or Grangerizing?
The Reverend John Granger, I think.
Yes.
Late last quarter of the 18th century,
1769. Yes,
who was terribly fond of old things and old prints. So he devised a method of doing biography, which he left a lot of blank pages so that you could extra illustrate the thing with prints of your choice about
right.
the subject.
Exactly. To be precise, in his 1769 History of England, he included blank pages for the addition of cuttings, prints and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Good.
The words of songs. Sometimes a line or a phrase stands out, like it's raining violets or a lucifer to light your fag.
I can do those.
Yes, you can. Yeah, you'll know yours, I think, when it comes to... John, you first. It may be for years, it may be forever. What's that from?
Well, how about giving me a clue?
All right, I'll give you the first word of the title. Alice.
Alice, where art thou?
Oh, yes. Half a mark.
Yeah, right, very generous, mark. I call it.
Yeah, Frank. I plinker de plonk.
Well, good luck, me.
Seldom in public, actually. I blinker de plonk.
Something to do with raindrops.
No, it's not. No, I don't think so. No, it's to do with nuts, actually.
Den is very anxious
to do with
help
nuts,
me
isn't it, Dennis? Yes,
this round. I am to this kind of song what you are now, to the 18th century.
Now, he helped you.
Yes, he helped you. Will you take my mark, Frank,
with gratitude, are you going to
Grangerize it for it. I'm one of the nuts from Barcelona.
I think I'm the plonk. That's right. Barcelona title. Ian, I keep wishing I was somewhere else.
I think Dennis is going to come to my rescue.
Half
again.
A mark.
I couldn't write.
It might as well be...
scribbled like, might as well be spring.
Hadn't time to write it all. Yes. Half a mark for your side. Yes. Dennis, from out the skies above. Not one of your own lines.
From out the skies above, I sang you songs of love, Pepita. And nights of starry skies were somewhere in your eyes,
no
Pepita.
Tune.
All I can say is that it comes from that as well.
Bad luck.
And you must have your mark, because I can't challenge you without the book.
No, I can't, because I just made it up.
Does he deserve a mark for making it up?
Yes.
Should enemies attack our land from out the skies above is in the verse of Lords of the Air.
Oh, yeah.
Michael North and David Burnaby, remember, wrote it. The National Museum of Wales in Cardiff has an art gallery, and that art gallery has some very fine paintings which have been given music by some enterprising chap, music which is appropriate to each painting and all gathered together on a long-playing record. John, one of the pictures illustrated with music of its place and period is a lovely Madonna and Child by the Venetian painter Cima. The singer you'll hear is the mezzo-soprano Alison Truffitt. What, though, please, are the instruments accompanying her?
Oh, yeah. company?
Well, they may be disguised trombones, or they may be sack butts.
They're a real thing. They're the real thing. They're three sack butts. Three sack butts, you have them up. Frank, Canaletto's painting of the Bacino di San Marco is given music of the period by Albinoni. Frank, you heard there Crispian Steele Perkins on clarino trumpet with strings and continuo. What does a continuo look like?
Well, it's a basso continuo. It has no shape at all. But if it's another continuo, I would say it's worm-like.
It doesn't look like anything. It doesn't look like anything.
No.
It doesn't look like anything.
You got the mark, really, by not knowing the answer, which is brilliant. It's not a thing. It's a musical role. It's a role that is played.
Well, like a pianola.
Well, I know. I knew I should never have started this. In that case, the harpsichord was playing the continuo role, but it's a role, not an instrument.
Fair enough. It's an accompaniment, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
With irregular notes.
Ah, well, I wouldn't say that. We're getting a bit far away now.
Quit while you're winning.
Ian, over to you. The gem of the Cardiff Art Gallery collection is, I suppose, La Parisienne by Renoir. The music from the same date, 1874, is a song from La Jolie Parfumeuse. Ian, that composer also wrote Daphnis and Chloe and Voyage to the Moon. Who was he?
Well, there have been one or two moon-like composers. I remember many years ago singing in an opera called Life on the Moon by Haydn, but he wasn't around in 1874.
No, he wouldn't have written La Jolie.
So I suspect that might have been one of the 99
right.
Operettas by Jacques Offenbach.
Yes, he wrote La Jolie Parfumeuse, that song. Dennis, when Madame Suja sat to Augustus John, she played, while he painted, cello music by J.S. Bach. Josephine Abbott reconstructing it. Dennis, the Cardiff portrait in blue is a sketch for a later portrait in which Suja is wearing red. Where is that famous version and who was Tate?
That was a last minute rescue there. Well, it's in the Tate Gallery. Tate?
Now,
wasn't Tate the...
What did he do for a living?
Yes, he should really have sponsored the Cubist movement, shouldn't he?
Absolutely right.
Tate of sugar.
Yes, lovely answer. Sir Henry Tate, sugar refiner, gave 57 paintings to the nation on the condition that they were not shown in the National Gallery or at South Kensington. So they had to build a new gallery, and that was how the Tate came into existence.
Tell him about the Wallace collection.
I think we should keep that for another programme.
And so, to the singing. No scoring, of course, just four songs offered by our four singers. Frank will begin telling us about Miss P. Perkins of London West Door. Right?
Paddington Green. Ah, yes. Gentlemen.
Hey, mate.
No, it's such a lovely song. So can you all join me in the second chorus? Dennis, feel free to withdraw if you... I'm a broken-hearted milkman, in grief I'm arrayed, through keeping of the company of a young servant maid, who lived on board wages, the house to keep clean, in a gentleman's family near Paddington Green. Oh, she was beautiful as a butterfly and as proud as a queen. was pretty little Polly Perkins of Paddington Green. And the entire company, oh, she was as beautiful as a butterfly and as proud as a queen. Was pretty little Polly Perkins of Paddington Green. Thank you, my backing group.
Thank you. John has a song that personally I don't know. It's called Shallow Brown. Can you tell us about it, John?
Yes, it's a hauling shanty. The story, I suppose, is a girl standing on the quay singing this as the boat goes out. And it goes something like, Shallow Brown, you're going to leave me. Shallow, shallow brown. Shallow brown, you're going to leave me. Shallow, shallow brown, you're going across the ocean. Shallow, shallow brown, you're going across the ocean. Shallow, shallow brown. There are another 97 verses.
Oh, yeah.
Very good.
Shallow brown.
From Shallow's Your Lady Friend.
1942 was the year of Dennis's song Three Little Sisters, with a tagline at the very end which will amaze you
if you,
don't heard. Happen to have heard it before. Right.
There were three little sisters, three little sisters, and each one only in her teens. One loved a soldier, one loved a sailor, and one loved a lad in the Marines. Now these three little sisters, they were the fairest from Iceland to the Philippines. So said the soldier, so said the sailor, and so said the lad in the Marines. And when the boys marched away, the girls said they'd be true until the boys came home one day. So those three little sisters, stayed at home and read their magazines. You can tell that to the soldiers, tell it to the sailors, and tell it to the Marines.
This is where I take time out again. Ian, Lizzie Lindsay.
D. In the key of D. Will you gang to the Heelans, Lizzie Lindsay? Will ye gang to the Heelans wi' me? Will ye gang to the Heelans, Lizzie Lindsay? My bride and my darling to be. To gang to the Heelans wi' you, sir, I dinna ken how that may be. For I ken o' the land that ye live in, nor ken I the lad I'm gone wee. Lizzie lass, it is little that ye ken, if say be ye dinna ken me. My name is Lord Ronald MacDonald, a chieftain o' high degree. She has kilted her coat so green satin, she has kilted them up to the knee, and she's off with Lord Ronald MacDonald, his bride and his darling to be.
The battle has rolled now this way, now that, but we end up with a draw. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the program was produced by Tony Schreiber.